If you would, turn in your Bibles to the Bible, to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 1. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 1. My subject this morning, from the island to the altar. From the island to the altar. Many of you have reached the place where you feel like you are all alone. You know, life can deal you some crushing blows. And there are times when we all experience those moments and those circumstances which just take the wind out of our sail. If you have reached that place today, this message is for you. You know, so many times we feel like we're on an island, all alone. And it's at times like that that we need help. Amen? You know, COVID-19, it has taken a toll on America, and it has taken a toll on the nations of this world. And I was talking with Dr. Terry Trammell, one of our national leaders, about the various churches and the ministries that he's involved in across the nations. And he made a statement that really impacted my heart. He said, many people say we are all in the same boat. Then he said, the truth of the matter is that we are not all in the same boat. We are all in the same storm. We're all in the same storm, church. And some boats, they have suffered more damage than other boats have suffered. But we're in a storm and we're in a battle. And perhaps you're facing a storm today of some dreaded sickness. Or perhaps your storm is a financial storm. Perhaps it's a lost job. Perhaps you've got children that you've got bills to pay and you just don't know what to do. I face that in talking to people all the time. See, life can deal some crushing blows, but there are times when we must see something, hear something, and feel something we need to hear from God. John, one of the Lord's most intimate disciples, he found himself in such a situation. Look at Revelation 1 and 9. John said, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. And look at this, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said, and I heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. Look at verse 12. He said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He said, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he held in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. Look at verse 17. John said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. My subject this morning, from the island to the altar. Brother Philip, would you come as God's anointing on this message, my friend? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Father God, we thank you today, for we're here and so are you. Lord, we welcome your presence into our midst. We ask you that your word will go forth with great power this day. Have its profound effect upon everyone that hears it. What, no matter what the media or if we're here in this place. I pray, dear God, that you would touch and anoint our brother. Give him that Holy Ghost anointing that makes preaching easy. I pray that you would give us anointing to hear and to receive the word of God. And may we have wills that are anointed to act upon your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Thank you, my brother. Hallelujah. John was in the isle called Patmos, and he was in exile. He was on this lonely piece of real estate, and he was there because he had preached the word of God. He was there because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. John had been banished to this lonely island, but while he was there, he came face to face with Jesus. He heard Jesus, and he turned to see the voice that spake to him, and he said, "And when I turned," he said, "I saw him, and I fell at his feet as dead." John heard Jesus. John saw Jesus, and John felt Jesus. John said, "He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Now, I want you to remember, John was on this island, this lonely island, because of his preaching and because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. The people, they had rejected him. They had despised him. And they had sent him to this lonely island. Maybe this morning you have reached the place that you feel like you are all alone. Maybe you can feel the pains of rejection from some person that was very close to you. Or maybe you're asking yourself, how can I make it on this lonely island? How can I get to the place that I can hear Jesus? How can I get to the place that I can see Jesus? How can I get to the place that I can feel Jesus? Well, if you have a question, the Bible has an answer. John found the answer. He said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." John was on his lonely island, but somehow he got into the Spirit on the Lord's day. So how did he get there? Now, you've got to remember, there was no praise team like we've heard this morning. There was no anointed singing. There was no anointed preaching. There was no musical instruments. So how did John make this transition? How did he get into the Spirit on the Lord's day? The answer is very simple. John worshiped Jesus. And if there's one thing we need to do, church, that is to worship Jesus. We need to get our eyes off our circumstances, and we need to get our eyes on Jesus. When you got your eyes on Jesus, you know that no weapon formed against you can ever prosper. When you got your eyes on Jesus, you know that any trial that comes your way is going to work a greater purpose in your life. There's a law called Romans 8:28, and that law says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." If you're living according to purpose, praise God, and if you're in the will of God, God's going to work it all to your good, because God said, "I am the Lord thy God, and no weapon formed against thee shall ever prosper." When you got your eyes on Jesus, you know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. When you got your eyes on Jesus, you know that you alone can put 1,000 demons to flight. With a brother and a sister praying by your side, you can put 10,000 demon spirits to flight. When you got your own Jesus, eyes on Jesus, you know that he is truly your Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and that God's provision shall be seen. You don't worry about the next bill. You don't worry about the next payment. You don't worry about the things you need, because you know that your God shall supply. There's another law. It's in Romans 4:19. Look at it. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. When you got your eyes on Jesus, you know that truly he is your Jehovah Rapha. He said, "I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee." Hallelujah. He said, "I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee." The Bible says he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Praise God. Surely he has borne our sickness. Surely he has carried our pain. Surely, hallelujah. And then Peter comes along looking back at the cross, and he says, "Who bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live right. We should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Paul said, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." And when you got your eyes on Jesus, praise God, you know, praise God, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go on and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I just thinking about these things sometimes. I said, Lord, sometimes we just need a fresh anointing. Sometimes we just need another encounter with God's glory. Hallelujah. You know, too many people, they have lost the joy of their salvation. Too many people, they have lost their song. Too many people, they have lost their way through the wilderness of life. And life's circumstances has placed them on a lonely island. You know, the world is full of people that feel rejected and all alone. But the sad fact is, many of those people, they are Christians. Just because you're saved, let me tell you something, friend, that does not exempt you from the problems of life. There is a real devil. And I'll tell you, when your song turns to a sob, you need to get into a red-hot church service where you can hear Jesus, see Jesus, and feel Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you, you're in a place today where you can get your miracle, because this place is ignited by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I think we ought to just stand right now and give Jesus a praise break for our breakthrough before the breakthrough ever shows up. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We are who you said we are. We have what you said we have. We can do what you said we can do. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And so we praise you. Hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. I said, shout it. Hallelujah. Shout it again. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! John was on a lonely island, but somehow he got into the Spirit. And John worshiped Jesus, and he crossed over. He crossed over. He crossed over from the natural into the supernatural. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And you can get to that place in this service where you can hear Jesus, feel Jesus, and see Jesus. God wants us to worship Him. God wants us to praise Him. And what better atmosphere than in a red-hot, Holy Ghost-filled service where there's anointed singing, anointed praise, and anointed preaching. Hallelujah. God will send you a word. Brother James Selvidge Jr., he called me and said, Pastor, my sight is diminishing. I'm losing my sight. I said, well, I got a word from you. I was talking to Brother Philip Pearson, and he said, you know, John was on this lonely island, and they worked him into salt mines. And what that salt would do, it would draw the moisture out of your eyes and go blind. I told him, I said, John didn't die on that island, and John didn't go blind either. Hallelujah. And you're not going blind either, brother. You came to church. You come to get your miracle from God, and you just hold on. Give God the praise. Give God the glory, and let God do what only God can do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, John worshiped Jesus, and he crossed over. He got into the Spirit. See, it helps us when we get together with people of like precious faith. I need you. I need Jesus, but let me tell you something. I need the body of Christ. And it's the corporate anointing. As we gather together in the name of Jesus, it's in the atmosphere like that that we experience the presence, a greater presence of God. And God wants us to praise Him. And God wants us to worship Him with all of our heart. Now, David's one of my heroes. He had his flaws. David was a warrior. I love that about him. But David was a worshiper. And the Bible says, oh, he danced before the Lord with all his might. I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look him up. I'm having my mansion on Hallelujah Boulevard right next to Holy Ghost Avenue. And I'm going to look David up. I'm going to say, come on, David, let's dance. They told me how you danced when they brought the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, into Jerusalem. Let me show you how I dance when the Holy Ghost hit me and I realize God is inside of me and His presence is with me wherever I go. Come on, David, let's dance. Glory to God. See, David, this man after God's own heart, in Psalms 91, he said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. In Psalms 86 and 12, he said, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. In Psalms 103, he says it like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. God said, with your whole heart, with all your heart, with everything in you, praise ye the Lord. I said, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 150 says it like this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Woo! Praise Him with string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. When you breathe in, you ought to breathe out. Praise ye the Lord. When you inhale, you ought to exhale. Praise ye the Lord. Go on, praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to create a throne zone for God. Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. Glory to God. So you've got to make a transition from this natural world into the spirit world where all things are possible to him that believes. God said, you're a chosen generation. You're chosen. You didn't go looking God. God went looking you. That ought to be enough right there to make you dance, shout, sing, praise God, serve God, come to church, pay your tithe, get involved in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Do something for Jesus. Look what He's done for you. My Lord, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness, woo, into the marvelous light and goodness and mercy. They follow me everywhere that I go. It's a hunting term. Goodness and mercy are on your trail. And for that reason, no matter what you're going through, whether you're on a lonely island, whether you're facing sickness, whether you're facing financial difficulty, no matter what the circumstance of life, raise your voice like a trumpet and shout praise and make the devil listen to your praise and don't listen to all his lies. Get lost in this book, praise God, and say what God says. Just agree with God and your miracle will show up. There is a miracle in your mouth. I said there's a miracle in your mouth. If you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, that's you create your world with your words. Take God's words and speak it into that situation. My God. How did John make it on this island? He praised God. He worshiped God. And he got into the Spirit. God wants us to worship Him. And He wants us to come near to Him so we can hear, so we can feel, and so we can see something. Now, what did John see? Well, look at Revelation 1:13 again and following. John said, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. John saw Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. John saw Jesus. But he didn't see him hanging on a brutal cross. the suffering Savior made sin. Oh, no. He saw him as the ruling, reigning monarch, resurrected Lord of glory. Hallelujah. He saw Jesus, but he saw Jesus as he had never seen him before. And what was his reaction? He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one that was dead. Now, I want you to remember, John had seen Jesus many times. He was one of the Lord's most intimate disciples. But listen to what he said when he saw Jesus in his humanity. He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And he said, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. John saw Jesus in his humanity. John had seen Jesus in his humanity many times before. And he tells about a wayward woman at Jacob's well who Jesus told about some living water. And he said, if you'll take one drink of this water that I've got some living water, you will never thirst again. She said, sir, give me to drink. She took one drink of that water. She went running through the city. What was her message? Come see a man. Come see a man that told me all the things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Hallelujah. John has seen Jesus out there on the Sea of Galilee when a great storm arose and that little boat was rocking back and forth like a toothpick. And he had seen Jesus arise, rebuke the wind and the waves, and they obeyed his voice, and the disciples, they marveled, and they said, never a man spake as this man spake. He had seen Jesus at Lazarus' tomb, and Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. When Jesus came, stepped up to that tomb, and cried, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth out of that grave. He said, loose him. Woo! Let him go. I'm praying that God will loose some people in this place. Set them on fire. Let them go. Let them go. Praise God. I believe when I got saved, the devil, Jesus looked at him and said, I'm telling you, loose him and let him go. Woo! Hallelujah. I tell you, I've been loosed and I've been going ever since. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Lord. John had seen Jesus walk the streets of forgotten men. He had seen him heal the sick. He had seen him cast out devils. He had seen him open blinded eyes. He had seen him cleanse the leper. He had seen him forgive the sinner. He had seen him raise the dead. John had seen Jesus in his humanity many times. But when he saw him in the revelation, he saw him as he had never seen him before. And he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now remember, John was one of the Lord's most intimate disciples. He had seen Jesus many times before. But I submit to you that he had never seen Jesus as he saw him on this particular day. John had seen Jesus wear the robe of mockery when the Roman soldiers made him king for a day. And they knelt before him and mocked him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. But in the revelation, he beholds Jesus wearing a royal robe girded about the chest with a golden girdle, symbolic of his role as prophet, priest, and king. John had seen the head of Jesus under the crown of thorns, his hair matted together with the sweat and the blood and the spittle of unholy men. But in the revelation, he saw his hair as white as wool, as the Ancient of Days, as pure as snow. Hallelujah. He had seen Jesus' eyes filled with tears as he wept at Lazarus' tomb. He had seen Jesus cry over Jerusalem, and his eyes filled with tears when he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have called you unto myself as a mother chick, as a hen, mother hen calls her little chicks. But in the revelation, John saw the piercing, penetrating gaze of Jesus Christ, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. He had seen his sandal feet of Jesus, dirty, dusty, muddy, walking the rose of Galilee on the streets of forgotten men. But in the revelation, he saw his feet as fine, incandescent brass, as if they burned in a furnace. John had heard the voice of Jesus as he cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But in the revelation, he heard his voice as the sound of many waters, full of power, full of majesty, full of glory, hallelujah, full of might. John had seen Jesus stand before his accusers as the lamb led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. But in the revelation, out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword of judgment. He had seen the face of Jesus stained with blood, beaten, battered, and bruised, almost beyond human recognition. But in the revelation, he saw his face shining like the sun in its noonday strength. The last time that John had looked into the hands of Jesus, he had seen nail prints. But this time in the revelation, he didn't see scars, but he saw stars. And those stars, those seven stars, they represented the seven churches of Asia. Hallelujah. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one is dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. I want to tell you, he's got one key for cancer. He's got another key for heart disease. He's got another key for arthritis. He's got another key for sugar. He's got another key for the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. That's my testimony. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you something, the devil never made a lock to which Jesus doesn't have the key. And no matter what you're going through, no matter where you feel like you are, you're not on a lonely island by yourself. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're in a Holy Ghost filled service. Glory to God, with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And no matter what, praise God, we are the body of Christ. Christ was in a body here. He left this world and he left a body. He left a church, glory to God. He said, I want you to be filled with my power, filled with my glory, filled with my anointing. And he said, the works I do, I want you to do the same works and the glory, the greater works. Hallelujah. Think about it. God came to live inside of man through the power of the Holy Ghost. Go on and praise him. My Lord. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. I am who I am by the grace of God. I don't claim anything else but God's amazing grace, that he reached way down in the cesspools of sin and iniquity, and he laid his hand upon me and said, I choose you. I said, God, I wouldn't have chosen me. I'd have chosen somebody else. I came to this church 24 years ago. They asked me to be the pastor. I said, God, I said, you must have passed over a lot of good people to get to me. There must have been a lot of people before me. And they wouldn't do what God called them to do. And God said, I choose you. I'm going to tell you something. It means something to be chosen. It means something when God lays his hand upon you and God says, you're mine. And when you read this precious book and you see the treasures, you see what our suffering Savior went through. We're in a world of sin. We face many battles in this life, but we're not fighting for a victory. We're fighting from the victory of Calvary's cross. Jesus stripped the devil of his power. made a show of him opening. He said, for this purpose the Son of Man was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Colossians 2 and 15 says, and having destroyed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In other words, he stripped the devil of everything right there in the region of darkness, drug him through the corridors of hell. Every demon of hell, every demon spirit that belongs in his kingdom of darkness, they know that they are subject to the name of Jesus. Jesus reached out, snatched the keys of death and hell away from that old serpent. Crushed his head, glory to God, right there in front of all those demon spirits. All those things that you wrestle against. Paul said, put on the whole armor, suit up. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, put on the helmet of salvation. Have your loins girded about with truth. Put on shoes where you're shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he said, take the shield of faith. Above all, take the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And half the church world know about. About 2/3 or more of the church world deny the Holy Ghost. But praise God, he's real. He's real. Praise God, I know it's real. This Holy Ghost anointing, I know it's real. It's real, it's real. Praise God, I know it's real. This Pentecostal power, I know it's real. Can I get a witness out there? Glory to God. We don't talk about a Jesus that used to be. We don't talk about a Jesus that's going to be. We talk about the great I am. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No wonder John fell at his feet as one was dead. When John saw him in the revelation, he saw him in his splendor and his glory. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one that was dead. Have you been to the cross and died to self, to sin, and unto the world? If you haven't, you need to be crucified with Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Woo! the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Faith comes from hearing this word and reading it and hiding it in your heart. And faith comes from God as a gift. And faith comes through the Holy Ghost also as a gift that operates as he manifests that faith. And we're to be faithful. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, faith, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. In other words, you can have all of God you want. There's no law on this planet that says you can't have more. Woo! I tell you, I'm like old brother Jeremiah. Thy words were found and I did eat them. That word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Go on, praise him. You are called. Glory to God. John saw him in the Spirit. He fell at his feet as one that was dead. And that's what I want to happen to your pastor. And that's what I want to happen to you. That's what I want to happen in this church. I want us to all get to the place that we fall at his feet and worship him simply for who he is. He has created all things and for his pleasure they are and were created. May God give us a revelation of the glory, the majesty, the splendor, and the dominion of Jesus Christ. And may God give us a revelation of what he has done for us and what he wants to do in us. John saw Jesus. And when he saw him, he also heard something. And what he heard gave him faith to continue. What did he hear? He heard Jesus say, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." He said, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now that word Abba, it means daddy. Daddy, Father. And I say this with all awe, and I say it with all reverence. Daddy, Father. Daddy, Father, I have a need. Daddy, Father, I come to you. You said, "Fear not, for perfect love casteth out all fear." Thank God for his amazing love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you feel like you're in bondage today. Maybe you feel like you're all alone. Maybe you feel like you're in exile. Maybe you feel like you're on an island. I want you to remember something. John did not stay on his island, and John did not die on his island. He got off of his island. He built an altar in the middle of his mess, and he got in the spirit. And you can get up off of your island too if you will build an altar and worship Jesus for who he is. John was on the isle, which is called Patmos, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard Jesus, he saw Jesus, and he felt Jesus. How did all of that happen? It happened because he worshiped Jesus. Let us stand.
He is here. Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord.
He is here.
Lord, I've tried
Amen.
To paint a portrait of all. But Lord, the volumes of the books that are written about you can't contain your miracles. But you're here, Lord, and we're here to worship you for who you are. Not because of what we need, but because of who you are.
Listen closely.
Hear him calling out your name. He is here.
You can touch him.
You will never be.
I know we're practicing social distancing. You got 5 minutes before 12. This thing, I landed it early. You can come to this altar and space yourself out. Come bow at the feet of Jesus. Come worship your King. If you need somebody to lead you to the altar, lead him to the altar, James. Lead your son on down to the altar. He called me. He said, I've got a great need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John saw Jesus. John heard Jesus. John felt Jesus. Lord, we're here. At your altar of grace, we're here, Lord.
You can touch him. Say
hallelujah,
he is here.